All right, in Acts chapter number 6, we mentioned briefly some of the things that are found in this text last Sunday night at our Bible study. We talked about last week the qualities or attributes of the godly deacon. And this week we'll try to teach on what are the duties or responsibilities of the faithful deacon. Acts chapter number 6 is our introduction to the office of deacon. Although the word deacon is never officially used, most everyone agrees. In fact, this is one of the rare things that most everybody across denominational lines agrees on, that this is where deacons began. This is where they found their root in the early church. Very few would say that this is not the beginning of the office of deacon. So let's read what brought this need into place, and then what did these deacons do, and what were their responsibilities? In Acts chapter 6, we begin reading with verse number 1. It says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." And I just mentioned to you that there at the close of verse number 2, that language "serve tables" is the same translation of the word that we get the word deacon from. Same basic word, "serve tables." "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." What are the duties or responsibilities of the faithful deacon? And to give you an answer that really isn't an answer, let me say this. The Bible never comes out and clearly says that A, B, C are the duties of a deacon. Now just follow me for just a moment. There's no list. You know, as we went through the qualifications of a deacon, there was a list given there. They are to be this, 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 and this. But there is really no list of duties associated with the office of a deacon that they are responsible for A, B, and C. And the reason for that is because no list compiled could ever be complete. It is really the duty of the deacon to do whatever is needed. And that's really what the sum of it is. So when I say that the Bible doesn't come right out and say, what I mean by that is there's no definitive, here's what a deacon's job is. We have some things, the Bible does say there are some things that are clearly his responsibility. But if the Bible enumerated everything, you'd have a Bible that's a whole lot bigger than what you already have. Because the office of a deacon, I reiterate, as I did last week, the office of a deacon is the office of a servant. It is someone who serves the needs of the church. And the needs of the church vary from church to church. The needs of the people differ from pew to pew. The needs of the pastor differs from pastor to pastor. And so the Bible doesn't set out to try and encompass and say in totality, here's everything that a deacon should do. Rather, it sets forth the principle, here's what a deacon is, and if this is what he is, this is what he'll do. If he is indeed a servant, then he'll see to the needs of those to whom he aims to serve. And so, when we talk about the duties of a deacon, I'm not going to try to come in here tonight and say it's a duty, a deacon's job to do this, this, and this. Although we will enumerate some things that I think the Bible, you know, makes clear for us. But it would be impossible for us to make a list of everything that a deacon is required to do. If we started out here at the beginning of our property and made all the way back, and every need within every member here, we never cover. It would be an incredible list that we could never cover everything. So let us establish, as we did, what the office is, and then after establishing what the office is, that will teach us or tell us what the deacon's responsibilities are. The pastor, and this is a few things, the pastor does not command a deacon, but rather he should be able to, and a godly deacon he can depend upon. The pastor doesn't give orders, but he asks for assistance, and assistance is faithfully given. The pastor can confide on him, and the church may rely upon him. That is what a godly deacon is. The office of deacon, meaning a servant, demands or dictates that his job is as big as the need is. If we understand the office of deacon as a servant, and if you can do this without going further than you should, if you could imagine a household, and some of you will perhaps remember years and years ago, and even a couple of generations ago, when households had servants. Now, understand that the office, and I talked about this last week, that the office of a deacon is not as someone who's an indentured servant, someone who is in bondage to, but rather the deacon is someone who has willingly given themselves to minister to the needs. But in years ago, if we can go back and in your mind, if you could think about a household that had a servant, what would that servant's job be? And the answer to that would be, it would be the servant's job to do whatever the household needed. Amen. Do you see that? Whether that's sweeping or mopping or cleaning or hugging the children, whatever it is that household needed, that would be the servant's job. And that is, in my estimation, the way that it is or should be with the deacon. It's not that he is a slave or a servant under bondage to the church, and certainly not to the pastor, but a willing minister to the needs of the body, to the needs of the building, to the needs of the people, whatever they are, whatever those needs are that it is within his ability to fulfill. He tries to meet those needs primarily, and we understand this, primarily he deals with the material and the physical needs within the body, within the building, while the pastor tends to the spiritual needs of the people. And this is exactly what is laid out right here when the apostle said that it's not reason, verse number 2, the 12 called the multitude. They called the church together, the disciples together, and said to them, it just doesn't make any sense. It's not reason that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Let's look out among you. Here's what I believe it is the Holy Spirit of God impresses upon the apostles in that first church. He impresses upon them that they are to look out among. You remember us talking about that last week? Look out among the membership. And identify men who are qualified to do this work. Men who are full of wisdom, filled with the Spirit, of good report, grave, sober, and down the list, 1 Timothy 3 gets. Look out over the assembly. Find men who are qualified and appoint them to this business. Amen. And this is so that and here's a whole lot of it. This office was given to free the men, the pastors or elders, to free them so that they could do the spiritual side of the work, so that they could spend their time in prayer and in fasting and study, so that they could meet the spiritual needs within the church. And the deacons take care of the material or physical needs, so that's not incumbent upon the pastor. And this is where this began. We will give ourselves, verse number 4, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. He tells him in verse number 3, choose 7 men, set them over this business. What was taking place? In the book of Acts, if we put ourselves in that setting, God had blessed this church. People were being saved. The church was growing. As a matter of fact, if you go through and look, people were selling their houses, their lands, their property, and donating everything to the local church. God was blessing. I mean, things were just going great. However, persecution arose. And some of the folks who, and probably some of the very same folks who had given everything to the local church, were now hurting and were now struggling. In fact, what takes place here in verse number 1 tells us that the widows were receiving daily ministration. They were receiving support or help from the local church. And there were a group of the widows, what the Bible here talks about, the Grecians. And that just simply means they were Greek-speaking. I have a hard time saying that. Greek-speaking Jews. Greek-speaking Jewish widows who either were or felt like they were being neglected as the church dispensed to the needs of the widows. Now, there's a lot of debate back and forth as to whether or not this was legitimate or not, whether or not these ladies really had a right to complain or not, but whether or not they had a right to complain or not, they did. And so the apostles tell the church, take 7 men and appoint them over this business so that they can tend to this. Amen. We don't have any business stopping what we're doing and going to go wait on tables. There's no reason for us to leave. If I can put it in today's terminology, there's no reason for the pastor to get out of the office and go out here and vacuum the floors, or to get out here and to get out and make sure that the widows have what they need day by day. Does that mean that I'm too good? I didn't mean that. I told you all before, I've cleaned the toilets before, and I hadn't done it here, hadn't had to. But I've cleaned the toilets, mowed the lawn, you name it, mopped floor, I've done it all, you know. And that doesn't mean I'm too good to do it. But when things are right, it wouldn't be needful that the men of God would leave off the service of God to take care of the house of God. Amen. That it would be done by the deacons. That's what the office is about. Freeing up God's men to the study and preparation of the Word to present it to God's people. This office of deacon, here's what they first set out to. And let's just imagine, don't you think they did what they were called to do? Don't you think these 7 men got into this business? Okay, what's going on? Okay, you're being neglected. Let's even this out. Let's make sure that things are done rightly. And I believe that they did a good job of it. I believe that these 7 men that they chose, and if you're interested in this, it tells us in verse number 6 that the apostles ordained them. They laid hands on them and appointed them. And the result of that, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but the result of that was that God blessed the church. God blessed it even greater. Because the pastors were doing what they were supposed to do. In this case, I told you they had a multiplicity of elders at the first church. When the elders do what they're supposed to do and the deacons do what they're supposed to do and a church is walking in obedience to God, God blesses. And that's what took place right here. Amen. To understand all the duties of a deacon, one must understand that the duties go as far as the needs go. Sometimes a deacon has to dig a hole. Sometimes he has to sweep the porch. Sometimes he brings food to the hungry. Down the list. And I just mentioned this. I went through the qualifications last week, and it is so important that a church prays and is serious before they ever lay hands on a man or put a man up for the office of deacon. Because while it is not a role of leadership within the church, it is an important role within the church. And a man who doesn't own a pair of work boots is not fit for the office.
Amen.
You understand? Well, because it is a job. And I mean that. It is a job. And it is a job that the pastor needs to be able and the church needs to be able to depend upon this individual to get the work done.
Amen.
I mentioned this, and I just have to say again, it is of immeasurable value to me to be able to say to one of the deacons, this needs to be done, and it's done.
Amen.
Poor old Robbie, God bless him. He's the only deacon here tonight. He's, last week we just railed on him hard, but this week we'll get you again, brother. No, not because I can depend on Robbie. Robbie's a busy man. He works a job. He works a job after a job. He's a busy man, but I know that I believe if I can tell him something, it will get done.
Amen.
And that means the world to me.
Amen.
The church needs to be able to go to their deacons and say, here's what we want you to do, and it gets done. It is not somebody, a deacon doesn't shy away from work. When you mention work, they don't tuck tail and run and go the other way. This office is an office of servanthood. It is an office of work. Sometimes it's dirty, and sometimes it's hot, and sometimes it's messy, but it's an important work.
Amen.
And when all the pieces and all the parts of a local body are doing what they're supposed to do, it's a beautiful thing, and God blesses that. The deacon needs to take care of the needs of the people. This is how it originally came. A church, and I just say this because I'm not here to beat poor old Robbie up, who's the only one here, but a church, or any, it doesn't matter who it is, a church, whoever that deacon is, the church nor the pastor shouldn't have to ask the man 10 times to get something done.
Amen, brother.
And she, I mean, that is unbecoming of the office of a deacon. For someone who is not interested in being serious about work should never seek this office.
Amen,
at all.
Amen.
The office of a deacon was started in order to serve the needs of the church. And really, that the essence of the work is the same today.
Amen.
We don't, I mean, you have to try to bring it into today's language. We don't give out daily to the needs of the widows like they were doing then. You understand? We don't do. But if there was a need, and if there was among our widows, just like we had a bunch of our widows here this morning,
Amen.
If they had a need, it would be the, biblically speaking, it's the responsibility of the family first to see to the needs of the widows. Biblically speaking, that's how it's supposed to be. The family is to look after those, what the Bible calls the widow indeed. Those that are of a certain age, and you know, but if the family's not around, then it is incumbent upon the local church to see to the needs of that widow.
Amen.
If the family won't do it, or if the family's not around, then the local church does. And this is one of the things that the church entrusts in the hands of the deacons.
Amen.
Make sure that they are, that their needs are met. That doesn't mean that, you know, they eat filet mignon or whatever it is you veggie lovers love every night. It doesn't mean they eat grilled okra or whatever it is y'all love. It doesn't mean that they get the best of everything they want, but that they are taken care of.
Amen.
That they are taken care of. And it is of great import that that is done and done fairly. That the deacons would never treat one widow one way and another widow another way. And that's what was taking place in this first church, or at least that was what was claimed to have been taking place in that first church. If there was a need, that things are done rightly, fairly, and equally. To see to the needs of the people, whether that is the widows, if there are orphans within the church, or if there are those who are fatherless. James 1 talks about pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction.
Amen.
It is the responsibility of the deacons to see to it that within that local church, that everyone has what they need, physically has what they need. To see to the widow's needs, to see the orphan's needs, to see to the elderly, to see to the poor. Something just as simple as, maybe this is the fault of a young pastor, but it's something I didn't think about. When we built the fellowship hall up in Tennessee, it never occurred to me that we needed a ramp running up into the entrance of that fellowship hall. It just, the light bulb never came on. You know, it just didn't. And it was the deacon who said, we got to have an entrance for those who may be coming in walkers or wheelchairs.
Amen.
And that is, to my mind, it's just a small thing, but it is someone who has in their head or in their mind, we have to make sure that the elderly are taken care of.
Amen.
And something even that small like that is important so that the widows do not feel left out, don't feel like they've not been taken care of. To see to the needs, primarily the physical needs of the church. And One of the great things, one of the most important things that I think is the duty of the deacon, and I said we're going to enumerate some things, and we will enumerate some things. One of the most important things that I believe is the office of a deacon, that is responsibility of the deacon, is to foster and promote unity within the church.
Amen.
This is what they did. If you look at Acts chapter 6 right here, and you look at what these men did, fostered unity within the church.
Amen.
And to me, this is one of the great callings of a deacon.
Amen.
No faction. And how many of y'all have been around churches long enough to know that there is schism sometime comes up in the body? There are little factions or little groups that come up in the body. Churches need to be careful about that. And just for a word of practical advice, when we have functions, don't sit in your clique, the same clique all the time. Spread out a little bit. If you're not careful, you get in your own little clique and you exclude everybody else out, whether you mean to or not. So just practically, don't get in your own little world and shut everybody else out. But no faction should ever be deacon-led.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? There should be never be a schism within the body that the deacon is the head honcho of the push the preacher aside movement or whatever you want to call it.
Amen.
That is not his calling in any way. You know and I know that pastors fail. We're human just like anybody else. Pastors make mistakes. We misspeak. We forget. We neglect. We're human just like anybody else. And sometimes
So are deacons.
Amen. That's right. Everybody. That's what I'm talking about. You know, we're talking about the deacons or the deacons' wives. Nobody's going to be perfect in this thing.
Amen.
Sometimes it is incumbent upon somebody to stand up and do what's right.
Amen.
But that needs to be done the right way. It needs to be done with the right spirit. It needs to be done in the right and proper manner. Taking care to foster unity within a church. To foster unity. What greater service could a deacon do to a church than fostering unity within the body? I wish, Brother Gordon, amen. I don't have to do anything but say, Brother Gordon, you'll amen. But how much of your prayer life is spent in saying, God, give unity and peace to this local church? There's a preacher's wife here. Great deal of your prayer life is, God, just don't let them kill each other. Just keep them from biting and devouring one another. That's just a lot of the prayer life of the pastor. It is. And what greater calling could a greater help could a deacon have than getting behind the pastor and praying to that end and doing what he can to foster unity within this? Can you see these seven men not getting in there and saying to those widows and those that are struggling, come on, for the glory of Christ, let's get together and work this thing out. Let's not fight and bite and devour one. Let's work this thing out. And that's of tremendous value. The fostering unity, peace and love and harmony as much as is possible. That is the deacon's duty. And then it is, we mentioned this, to see to the needs of the property. There are no commands, you know, there are no biblical commands given as to exactly what the deacon should do. As far as he should sweep and mop, but he shouldn't clean it, there's nothing like that. You understand? Whatever the church needs. The church here, we employ someone to take care of the primary needs of the building, the week by week cleaning of the building. That's fine. There's nothing at all anti-biblical or extra, there's nothing wrong with that at all. But when things come up, whether it is like what we've done here lately, the cleaning outside, out front, out here, the cleaning that, whatever it is, the pastor and the church needs to be able to depend upon the deacons to get this work done. If there are physical needs around the body, physical needs around the building, and it goes beyond what is, like in our case, in particular to this church, what Sister Bobby takes care of, then it's the deacon's responsibility to see to it that it gets done.
Amen.
You know, Brother Robbie, for a little while, he was wrestling with Miss Brenda's light back here in her little room back there. These are the things. You know, I can get out and change the light. I can do that. But would you rather me climbing up a ladder and changing the light or in here praying and preparing to study for you? You understand? That's the idea behind it. I felt bad. I didn't feel too bad about it. When they were out here cleaning up here up front and cutting all that underbrush and stuff away, I sat back here in my air-conditioned office, and one day, particularly Jerry was out there, just sweat dripping off of him, and he's cutting stuff back and everything else. I felt a little bad about it, but and I didn't feel.
I did.
But I did appreciate the man say, you go do what you got to do, and I'll take care of this, and I appreciate that. No joke. These are the things that a church needs to depend upon a deacon for, to see to the needs of the property. No list could ever be all-encompassing. Things always come up. Pastor and the church should be able to go to the deacon and say, blank needs to be done, and it gets done. He is to see to the needs of the property. He is to see to the needs of the pastor. How do I teach this without sounding self-serving? It's impossible, but let's try to teach it anyway, okay? This is, I hope you understand that it's not about me, but it's about the office. And as that is done, God blesses the church for it. Is the pastor being taken care of? Does his family have what he needs? I think it is incumbent upon the totality of the church, but in particularly the deacons, to make sure that if you want your pastor to show up at the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, you make sure his car will get him there.
Amen.
And make sure his tires on his car will get him there. If you want him to be able to minister, then you equip him to be able to do that. And that's not limited to, and some of you all have been incredibly generous in giving to us in the short time that we've been together. It's not limited to the deacons, but it certainly is incumbent upon the deacons to go to the pastor and say, do you have what you need? Are you being taken care of? Is there something that we can do to help you? That, you know what that means to me? I mean, that just means the world to me, to have that within this body. The idea is given is that the deacon is there to support the church, support the pastor. That doesn't mean that they are yes men, but they have the best interest of the church in mind. And a godly deacon delights to do this.
Amen.
This is not, it's not him dragging his feet and grudgingly say, oh, I've got to do this, but he delights to do this.
Amen, brother.
He realizes what a privilege it is to take care of God's people, to take care of God's pastors, to take care of God's house. What a privilege that is. He seeks to do whatever he can. He serves his Lord by serving his Lord's church. You ever thought about this? Now, do we believe that the bride of Christ is or comes from the local New Testament church? Amen. Then do you not see a beautiful portrait of the deacons? God saying, I want you to take care of my bride.
Amen, brother.
Christ saying, I have set deacons within the church. You take care of my bride. I'm coming to get her, but until I do, you take care of her. You make sure that she's got what she needs. You help take care of her and provide her needs. Isn't that a privilege? Isn't that a great honor for the Lord to entrust this into the hands of men? This is my bride, who I loved and I gave myself for. Take care of her. Man, that's wonderful. You pastor, you feed them spiritually. Deacons, you make sure they're materially and physically they're taken care of. That's a joy. And should be treated as such.
Amen.
I done turned into preaching here, I am, instead of just teaching. The godly deacon serves his Lord by serving that local body. He doesn't boss her around. I wish, on the other hand, let's turn that around, yeah? If this is the Lord's bride, I don't think it's the servant's job to boss her around, do you? You with me on that?
Amen, brother.
It's not the deacon's job, not the job of a servant to boss the bride of Christ around,
Amen.
But to serve her. Some people get the idea, and I can't help but throw a few of these in. It's just part of me. Some folks get the idea when they ordain the deacon that now they get three votes at every business meeting. That's the truth. Let me see if I can make a distinction for you. Last week I railed on the church is not a business, not to be treated like a business. And it shouldn't be. This church is not a business. But if you have someone who is in authority and in a business, whoever it is, you know, the president of a company, they, if they're wise, will seek counsel, wise counsel, wherever it comes from.
Amen.
Truly, and understand what I want to draw a distinction before you, and I hope I can draw it clearly enough that it doesn't hurt, but it helps. If I need some counsel or advice on something, I should be able to go and ask advice from a deacon and him give me godly wisdom and advice. But I don't go to him because he's a deacon. You understand what I'm saying? I go to him because he is a man that has proved himself to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom.
Amen.
The president of the company doesn't go down to the man who's sweeping the floors and ask for his advice because he's the man sweeping the floors. But he may go down and ask him his advice if the man sweeping the floors gives good advice.
Amen.
Do you understand the distinction that I'm trying to make? Some elevate the office of deacon to assistant pastor. You know that, but that's not what the office is.
That's right, brother.
The pastor is to be the sole leader within the local church, following the Lord. The pastor is to be the sole, and the deacons are to be the servants. But any wise leader will turn to those who have wisdom to seek counsel.
Amen.
And those who are deacons should have shown themselves to be full of wisdom.
Amen.
And to be full of the Holy Spirit. And so then they should be, the pastor should be able to turn to them and say, I'd like some counsel on something. And if I go to them, and I've done that, I've asked me and I've asked him some counsel on some things. But I don't go to them because he's a deacon. I go to him because he's a man that has proved himself capable of giving sound advice. God's Word says that in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. So that president would be a knucklehead not to go to that guy sweeping the floors if the guy sweeping the floors can give good advice.
Amen.
It's like the professional golfer goes to his caddy and asks him, but what should I do right here? He's not asking him because he's a caddy. He's asking him because that caddy is supposed to know something about those golf other holes and about the greens. And I hope I hope I can draw that clearly enough to you. You know, the biblical idea of what a deacon is sometimes gets twisted and turned from what takes place in the world today. And I just throw these things in, and I'm getting ready to close, but I have found as a pastor and as a pastor's kid and as a church member that some men take the office of deacon and cause great strife and controversy within a church.
Amen, brother.
They think that because I'm a deacon, I'm going to run things.
Amen, brother.
And that is totally out of order from the biblical precept.
Amen.
And on the other side of it, I've seen God greatly bless churches because they had good, qualified men who served in the office of a deacon.
Amen.
And I'm going to give you this as I close. We find that in 1 Timothy 3, verse 13, it talks about those that have served the office well. It says that they purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The godly deacon does not grow in rank, but as he continues to serve the church, he grows in the respect of the church.
Amen.
He does not grow by promotion, but grows by the high opinion of the people and the pastor. And this is where I'm closing with this. I believe there is and will be great reward for the faithful deacon. I believe when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord says, I loved this church and gave myself for this church, how well did you serve my bride?
Amen.
And for the deacon that served her well, I think there'll be reward for that.
Amen.
I think there's a reward here and now. The Bible talks about having great boldness and confidence and people in the community being able to say, now there's a deacon and a good one. That means a lot to me to be able to say, there's a deacon and a good one. But I also think when you stand before the Lord one day to give an account, man, wouldn't that be something to say, Lord, I never had a whole lot in this life. I never made a whole lot in this life. But you blessed me to be able to be a servant year after year after year. And as long as I was able, I did what I could to make sure that church was taken care of.
Amen.
Mm. That's something to work towards. That's something, that's a high regard. It's a high mark. Service and servitude. Did our Lord not plainly tell us that he that should be first should be last, and he that should be greatest should become least?
Amen.
That's the office of a deacon. Let's pray.